And without further ado.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. So first of all, I want to thank Stewie for inviting me to come and learn with all of you. I've had the privilege, I think, over the last couple of months. I think the last Lunch and Learn we had, I don't remember, Mayor, the name of the, it was another law firm, right?
Neuberger.
Okay. I don't want to. No kinasofim or anything.
Not at all.
Good. Halavai, it should be tar b'chachma in your tzashem. But really, it's always nice to be able to come down and to be able to share with you. It's really always a very beautiful thing to see, Baruch Hashem, successful professionals who are taking time in the middle of their day to be able to learn. I think it's something really special and really beautiful, and it represents the magnificent synthesis and synergistic partnership between, on one hand, the Jew's ability to maintain one's ruchnius, one's spirituality, while at the same time impacting the outside world in a positive way. So thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to learning with all of you. So I know we don't have a lot of time. I put a lot more on this sheet than Amir Tzashem we're going to be able to cover today. But I wanted to be able to focus on what I think is a really... First of all, does everybody have a source sheet?
We put extra ones at the end of the table.
Okay, so this should be, hopefully there's enough for everyone. So what I wanted to focus on today is the discussion regarding the mitzvah of simcha, the mitzvah of mishteh, the mitzvah of drinking on Purim. I figure because it's Shushan Purim Katan, you know, there is a quasi-celebratory tone and nature to the day, even though it's Adarishan, we're not yet celebrating Purim. But I wanted to focus on this mitzvah from a number of levels. And the truth is, I want to divide our conversation into two different parts. The first part will focus a little bit on the halacha, understanding the halachic background to this concept. And part number two will focus a little bit on the hashkafa, almost like the theological or hashkafic underpinnings of this idea. So we begin with the Gemara. Gemara Maseches Megillah number one. Amar Rava. Rava said, Nechayiv inish levasumi b'purya, adelo yalda bein araham lebarach Mordechai. So Rava said, a person is obligated. Now this lesson of levasume is quite interesting. Levasume literally means to become fragrant. So what we understand it to mean is to become inebriated. Person is obligated to become inebriated on Purim, adelo yalda bein araham lebarach Mordechai. So the person doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman is blessed, and blessed is Mordechai. So the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Zera of the Su'udas Purim Bahadi Adadis. Rabbi and Rabbi Zera went ahead and made Purim Su'udah together. They decided to have the celebratory meal for Purim together. What happens? If so, they got drunk. Now this is actually a shocking story. Come Rabbi, Shachte Rabbi Zera. Rabbi got up, literally Shachte means what? Killed him. Rabbi got up, he was drunk, he got up, and he killed Rabbi Zera. Now, I'll just point out to you, the Marsha in number two, we'll just do it outside, has understand, says it can't literally mean that Rabbi got up and killed Rabbi Zera. What it must mean is that Rabbi pressured Rabbi Zera to keep drinking, and essentially Rabbi Zera, I guess what we call today, got alcohol poisoning. See, he was literally either on death's door or did actually die. So the point is, they're drinking too much together, Rabbi gets up, or we could use the literal translation, kills Rabbi Zera. Lemachar, the next day, when the effects of the wine wore off, boi rachmi va'achye. So Rabbi Davin, Rabbi Zera, either to be healed or to be brought back to life, and Rabbi Zera was healed. Okay, the story has a beautiful ending. Fast forward to the next year. L'shana amar le'nesimar v'na'avit sudas purim b'hadei adadi. So you can imagine this scene. The next day, next year, Rabbi calls up Rabbi Zera. My friend Rabbi Zera, I have such a great idea. Let's make Purim Su'udah together. All right, let's go ahead. From what I could remember, we had a really special time last year. It was quite an event. Let's have Purim Su'udah again together. And what happens? Amrlei, lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachesh nisa. To which Rabbi Zera responded, listen, last year we were lucky. Baruch Hashem, there was a miracle. But you know what? Miracles don't happen all of the time. So thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. I'm going to pass. Enjoy your Su'udah. I'll enjoy mine. But I think it's a better idea if we keep our celebrations separate and distinct.
Where were the wives during this?
It's an excellent Shaila. I'm not qualified to answer. So the idea over here is, so this Gemara is pretty much the one and only Gemara that speaks about the concept of mishteh, of drinking on Purim. And you could see already, it's a fascinating Gemara, because the Gemara begins with a definitive statement. Mechayiv inish, and the wording over here is so interesting as well. Mechayiv means what? An obligation, which is quite fascinating. The only other time we see the wording of chiyuv by drinking is when? Dalet kosos, by the four cups of wine. a Pesach, which of course is a rabbinic obligation, but an obligation nevertheless. So how are we to understand this Gemara? How are we halachically to understand this obligation? So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. So the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, remember Rabbeinu Asher, and I put a little biography over here, was one of the first formal codifiers of halacha. So remember, again, it's hard for us to appreciate, but once upon a time, if you had a question in Jewish law, and you wanted to know what to do, you would open up a Gemara. Now, anyone who learns Gemara knows that to try to find the bottom line resolution in Gemara is exceptionally difficult. Because more often than not, the sugya, the particular topic of a Gemara, does not end with a defined resolution. Often it ends with a question, ends with a dispute. But before the Rosh, that's how people had to decide halacha. The Rosh said this is not a normal system, or I should say, we have to refine the system a little bit more. And therefore, he began to codify halacha. So what the Rosh does is the Rosh goes through a piece of Gemara, and he'll just pick out a phrase. But his decision to include one phrase and not another phrase indicates that that's the halacha. So the Rosh, when he comments on this, says, Amar Rava, Mechayiv Inish Levasume Bepuria Adalo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai La'ar Haman. So the Rosh simply quotes the statement of Rava, which indicates that according to the Rosh, the bottom line halacha is that one is obligated to drink on Purim until literally I don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. So the Rosh literally says a person should drink to the point of inebriation on Purim. Okay, that's the Rosh. Look at number four, the Rabbeinu Nissim Duran. So the Ran says something very interesting. If you skip down a little bit to the third to last line, last two words on the V'kasav Rabbeinu Ephraim, Zal, Me'ahu Uvda, Dikam Rabba V'shachte L'Rabbi Zeri, Kedisa B'Gimara, Idchilei Memra D'Rabba V'lo Shapir Dami L'me Avid Hachi. So the Ran says something amazing. The Ran says, no, follow the flow of the Gemara. How did the Gemara start? The Gemara started with a statement of Rava. A person is obligated to drink on Purim until they don't know they've seen Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Cursed is Haman, blessed is Mordechai. What does the Gemara do right after that statement? What does it do? You should really serve lunch at the end of this year. Because there's no like incentive for participation. So it tells a story. Now, so says Rabbeinu Ephraim something amazing. The fact that the Gemara quotes the story, what's the story about? It's about two rabbis that took the advice of Rava. And they got drunk. And they got so drunk that they lost control. So what does the inclusion of the story tell you? That don't do it. That don't do it. So the Gemara quotes Rava, person should drink on Purim until they don't know they've seen Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And then the Gemara tells you a story of people who follow this advice with disastrous results, to which the Rabbeinu Ephraim says, teaches us that Rava's advice should not be followed on Purim. Now, the Rabbeinu Ephraim is not saying, don't drink. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, don't drink to the point of inebriation if you don't know there's seen Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, because people tried it, and it did not work out well. So you see where we're going? We're creating the poles. So on one hand, you have the Rush, who just says, the halacha follows the statement of Rava, drink until you don't know the difference. We have the Ran, who quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says, no, the story is to tell you, don't follow the advice of Rava. And now we come to number five, the Rambam, famous Rambam, which is, yes. So yes, the Gemara actually does it not all the time, but the Gemara, usually the formulation that you'll see in the Gemara is Maisa Lister, right? Why are you bringing a story to contradict? So sometimes the Gemara will bring a Maisa, a behavioral manifestation, or somebody actually implementing the advice of what was just said, and it goes terribly wrong, and the Gemara almost says like, enough said. People tried it. It didn't work out. Don't do this. Don't do this. You won't normally, you'll never see it with matters of biblical law, with Daraisas. You will see it sometimes with Darabanans.
Absent the story, though, why is the premise that Musumi Bapurya specifically refers to drinking?
So that's how everyone, because the word for drunkenness in Aramaic is ipsum, right? To become fragrant with wine. Like the smell is coming off you, it's coming from your pores. So I'm not aware of anyone that gives a different interpretation. I mean, it's not, that word is not only found here, it's found throughout Shas. So as far as I know, no one gives like a different etymological root for it. Let's take a look at number five. So now that we've seen the poles, let's see the middle position, the Rambam. You know, of course, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos is the one who says that, you know, the right path in life is the Derech HaMamutza, is always the middle path. So here the Rambam goes ahead and gives this middle path as well. Look what he writes. Ketzat chovas se'udazu. So now, first of all, the first thing the Rambam does is something very important, which is that he talks about drinking on Purim in the context of se'udas Purim, of the celebratory meal. Because the Rambam is trying to make a very important yet nuanced point, which is that there is no concept of drinking outside the Seudah. So there's no independent mitzvah to drink on Purim. The mitzvah of, if you subscribe to the fact that there is a mitzvah of drinking on Purim, it is only within the context of the celebratory meal. So that's how the Rambam starts. Look what he writes. So, Keitzad Chova Seudazu, Sheyochal Basar, eat meat, V'itakin Seudun HaKfi Asher Timse Yada, V'shose Yayin Ad Sheyishtaker, V'yirodeim B'shechros. And what should you do? Drink wine. Drink wine. To what point? To the point that you go to sleep. And you'll go to sleep as a result. Now, where does the Rambam get sleep? Where does sleep come in over here?
At the Loyota.
Oh, so the Rambam takes a very literalist approach. The Rambam says, what does the Gemara say? You're supposed to drink Ad the Loyota Bein Araham on the Baruch Mordechai. You're supposed to drink the Loyota, the Rambam, cursed is Haman, blessed is Mordechai. The Rambam says, I have the perfect solution, and this solution is so good because it allows you to satisfy halacha and also what? Also keeps you out of trouble. So what do? Drink till you're so overcome with fatigue that you fall asleep. And guess what? When you fall asleep, you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Most of us are not dreaming about Haman and Mordechai. So therefore, again, when you're asleep, you've satisfied the halachic. Because remember, again, the Rambam is a halachist. So therefore, again, everything has to conform to the law. So we could conform to the law, but at the same time, avoid the pitfalls as expressed in the story here. And in fact, again, everyone begins to echo, not everyone, but you see, I'm not going to go through them all, but the Karban Esanel, the Meiri, all go ahead and begin to discuss this as well. So if you take a look,
the story, they didn't have the Seudah, and they said they used to get the Nesubi. Is there a rhyme for the story that they had the
Seudah
there as well?
No, it says, Avdu Seudas Purim B'Hadi Adavi. Yeah, they did have Seudah. They had Seudah together. So take a look. I just want to point out to you a very interesting Lashon in number 8. I'll just tell you this out here. You could see, look at the Beis Yosef. Kosev Ba'archos Chaim. Well, actually, go back to number 7 for just one moment. He says, Miko Makom, end of the first line. Ein Ono Mitzuvin Lishtake Ula Hafchis Atzmenu Mitoch HaSimcha. It is important that when we celebrate on Purim, the celebration does not lead to a lessening of our personal kavod, our personal honor. Shelo nitztavinu asimcha shel hololus v'shel shtus. We have to be careful that our simcha is not too much levity or too much silliness. Ela besimcha shetanuk shenagia misocha li'avas Hashem v'oda al anisim sha'asan. Remember, Purim is a religious experience. And as such, everything we do on Purim has to lead me to a religious and spiritual experience. Therefore, says the Beis HaBechir, this is the Meiri, it can't be that we're going to drink to the point of silliness, because that's the antithesis of a religious experience. The Beis Yosef says the same idea. Look what he writes over here. He says, So the Beis Yosef says, it can't be that the halacha tells us to get drunk. You know, there is a term for the drunkenness of Rabbah and Rabbi Zera in the Gemara. What's the term? It's called Shichruso Shalot. So this is good to know. You can get drunk, or you can get Lot drunk. So what does it mean to get Lot drunk? So we're familiar with the story where Lot drank so much that he engaged in an act of incest. Actually, he engaged in two acts of incest with his daughters. So getting Lot drunk means getting so drunk that the lines between right and wrong are blurred. So the Archos Chaim says, not only does the halacha not condone that kind of behavior, but the halacha rallies against that type of behavior. Because drunkenness or drinking that breaks down the barriers between right and wrong, between the barriers between tov and ra, is absolutely frowned upon in halacha. The Archos Chaim therefore says, just drink a little bit more than you commonly drink. So whatever a person would drink on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, on Purim, you drink a little bit more and you've satisfied the halacha. So here you see, there's an entire spectrum of opinions. So we go again, ready from the Rush, who says, like Rava, drink as I don't know the difference. We have the Ran, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, don't drink really on Purim, because, or drink a little bit like a regular Yom Tov, but no excess. And then the Rambam, drink a little bit more, fall asleep, or drink a little bit more than you're normally accustomed to. How do we pass in halacha l'maisa? Meaning, what do we do? You came here to find out the halacha l'maisa. Take a look at number 9. Writes the Shulchan Aruch. Chayiv inish levasume beporia ad de lo yada bein arham lebarach Mordechai. So if you are a Sephardic Jew, so Purim is a lot more labedig. Why? Because if you notice again, the Mechaber just makes the statement of Rava, He calls him into Rava and does not qualify it. So he simply says, a person is obligated to celebrate on Purim until I don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. He seems to adopt the position of the Rush, and you just literally drink till you don't know. The Rama comes along, Hagah, so remember again, the Rama is Ramosha Isfalis, 1600s Krakow, Poland. He's the one who made the Shulchan Aruch into a usable book of law for Ashkenazim as well. Hagah, v'yesh omrim dein tzarech lishtakya kolkach. So the Rama comes along and says, hold on, you don't have to get that drunk. Ella, yishte yoser milimudo. Rather, you know what you could do? Just drink a little bit more than you normally do. The yashin, and fall asleep. Umitoch she yashin inu yodeh bin arham alabarach Mordechai. And what? And when you fall asleep, you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Whose position is this? The Rambam. So first of all, on a halachic level, what's quite unique over here? That, first of all, again, the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, the Sephardic Jew, is not quoting the Rambam. The Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ashkenazic Jew, is quoting the Rambam. But the Rama really ends off with the bottom line halacha, which is, last line of number 9, ve'echad hamarbe, ve'echad hamamit, ubilvan shi'echavin libo l'shamayim. At the end of the day, says the Rama, if you're going to drink a lot, or you're going to drink a little, whatever you're going to do, just make sure that it's holy. Just make sure that it's holy. So if a person knows that when they drink too much, they engage inappropriate, but they don't do appropriate things, or at least don't do it. But if a person is going to drink, and they're going to be laboring, and they're going to be holy, and they're going to keep it rooted in a spiritual experience, then fine. So that the halacha essentially says to us, each of us have to figure out what the right thing, what the right level of drinking on Purim is. But what's the guiding light? The guiding light is, it has to be, Obilvad Shiachavein Libo Shrein. You know, Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was Rav Shiva of Tor B'Das, said, how do you know if your Purim was a holy experience or not? So you know what he said? If you're at Shachris the next morning. Right? If you're at Shachris the next morning, right? Then that was a good Purim. The early Shachris, right? If you're at Dafyomi, if the next morning you kind of pick up and you don't lose a spiritual step, that's Purim. Then it's Bilvad Shiachav. I'm sorry?
Have a Meir of that night.
So Meir of that night goes without saying. That already the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah, when he talks about drunkenness, says it can't be that the halacha sanctions drunkenness because, again, or too much drunkenness, because we have to wash, we have to bench, we have to daven Ma'ariv. So that's almost like intuitively obvious in the halacha. Rafam was saying, again, what happens the next morning is often the barometer, is the metric for the nature of my Purim. If I don't miss a spiritual step, but Purim, again, is another step above, it takes me a step higher in my avodah, such as my service of God, that's a real Purim. If at the end of the day my mishteh comes at the cost of my spiritual growth the next day, then that's not really a service of God. That, unfortunately, is a service of the self. So now, and again, I apologize for the speed. I just want to try to get through a couple of things. So now what I've done for you, although by no means an exhaustive discussion, is we've seen the halachic discussion. Okay? So now you've seen, again, all the different opinions. Drink a lot. Don't drink. Drink in moderation. Drink a little more than you're used to. Drink until you fall asleep. The truth is, whatever you do, it should just be a holy experience. What's more intriguing in this discussion, I feel, is the hashkafic underpinning of the mitzvah. Meaning, we are a people of moderation. And I think one of the most beautiful things, and I think we'd all agree, one of the most beautiful things about Judaism is that Judaism is not an ascetic religion. So for example, Judaism doesn't say that in order to find God, you have to forego all of the material and physical pleasures of this world. We don't say that, because we believe that you could find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. It's just a question of the balance. And here the halacha seems to be telling us to engage in imbalanced, excessive behavior. So again, we don't like excess. We always like to have that fine line of good life equilibrium. And here there seems to be like a sanctioned form of excess. So from a hashka, we've seen the halacha. What about from just a Jewish perspective, from what we call a hashkafic perspective? What is the hashkaf of this mitzvah? And with this, I want to share with you three different approaches, but I want to give you the following disclaimer. I feel like I'm in an attorney's office. I can give a disclaimer. All right, I want to give you the following disclaimer, which is that I'm not going to do all of these justice, which is why I put all of them on the sheet. The sheets are yours, and I would urge you again to go back and to learn a lot of the things that we don't get to do, because each of these approaches by themselves is, it's like striking gold, striking spiritual gold. So three different approaches tied to three different things. So what I'd like to suggest is that in reality, there are three different hashkafic pieces to why it is that we drink on Purim. One of those pieces, ultimately, again, is Bein Adam La'atzmo, because it helps me with my relationship with myself. One of them is Bein Adam La'makom, it helps me with my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three is Bein Adam La'chaber, it helps me with my relationship with my fellow Jew. How so? So let's start with number 10. Number 10 is from the Sefer Oros, from Rav Kook, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the first chief rabbi of at this time, it was British Mandate Palestine, before the Akamas HaMedina, before 1940, before the establishment of the state. So Rav Kook was one of the greatest thinkers in the last 500 years. Just what Rav Kook did for Jewish thought, for Jewish philosophy, even if you don't agree with his Zionist approaches, Rav Kook as a thinker was a seminal personality. Look what he writes over here, and this is amazing. Paragraph A: Nichnas Nayin Yayin Yatzasod. So we're all familiar with this concept, either because of life experience, or because we understand it to be true. Literally, the Gemara says, wine comes in, secrets come out. So generally, the way we understand that concept is, when you drink a lot of the walls we put up and a lot of the inhibitions we have kind of fall to the wayside, and a lot of things that I normally kind of keep locked up somehow seem to come out. So Rav Kook has a very novel approach. Rav Kook writes, "Uma'od anu tzrichin b'chayenu, she'sodos hane'elamim yetzu v'yisgalu." Rav Kook says, how badly we need for our secrets to come out. How badly we need for our secrets to be revealed. What does that mean? Ayide giluyim shel hasodos, nakir asatzmenu, nakir ma esma shechavoy bekerbenu. So you have to understand, if you know a little bit about Rav Kook, Rav Kook's whole life centered around one core principle, which is every single Jew has a massive reservoir of spirituality. But for most of us, we never even begin to tap into it. Rav Kook speaks about this by Hanukkah, speaks about it by Purim, speaks about it by Pesach, speaks about it pretty much every single opportunity he has. That we undersell ourselves, we short sell it, meaning at the end of the day, we can each accomplish so much, we create glass ceilings for ourselves because we don't really believe in our personal greatness. So Rav Kook says, Nichnas Yayin Yatzasod, there's a soul, there's a secret for each of us. What's the secret? We each have a secret. Don't divulge your secrets, but I'll tell you your secret. Our secret is, we each have the capacity to be great. We each have the capacity to be magnificent. We each have the capacity to be so much holier than we presently are. But we suppress that secret. Why do we suppress that secret? Because if I acknowledge that I could be better than I currently am, then what happens? Then I have to act on it. You see, if I set the ceiling over here, the great news is, fine, no problem, I can handle till over here. If I acknowledge the ceiling need not be until, but the ceiling could be here, where suddenly, again, that creates a whole new level of expectations. Well, most of us don't like setting expectations for ourselves. Or if we're going to set expectations, we like setting them relatively low, so at least I know I can meet them and maybe even surpass them. But if I set them where they really could be, first of all, I have to do a lot more work, and I could also be setting myself up possibly for failure at times. So if Cook says something amazing, Bishah shanachnu novo, losocha b'china shalav asume adelo yada, Niftar lefachos the sha'a mikol osam hayadios hamatalos osanu. So Rav Kook says something amazing. I want to tell you this outside. Rav Kook says, you know what the problem in life is? So many of us view ourselves as Hamans, when in fact we're really Mordechais. So many of us think that we look at ourselves as Rishaim, as people who don't do good things, or as people who are not so great, when in fact each of us are Tzadikim and Tzidkanios. That's the power we have. Says Rav Kook, you know what the power of alcohol is? The power of alcohol, if used in moderation, is that it can go ahead and allow a person to set aside some of the walls that we build up in an effort to access the true inner self, the inner self of holiness, and the ability to reconnect with my own internal I, my own internal person, and to access all that Kiddush. Says Rav Kook, that's the meaning of the Gemara. Nichnas yayin, a little bit of wine. Rav Kook is not advocating for drunkenness, not low drunk, but a little bit of wine. Nichnas yayin, Yatsasora, I could find the secrets that I keep hidden. What's the greatest secret we each keep hidden? It's the secret of personal holiness. The secret of personal greatness, that we could each become more. That we could each become great. And he says, that's the pshat. Chayiv inish levasumi bapurya. Adilo yada bein ar haman. My whole life, I walk around thinking I'm ar haman. You know how many people walk around in life? Hopefully no one here. You know how many people walk around life thinking that they're worthless? Thinking that they don't matter, thinking that they're not good for anything other than the job that they do or the relationships they have, but they don't see any worth to themselves. Rav Kook says that's the greatest tragedy. So you know what we do? We drink on Purim, Ad lo yada bein Ar Haman le Baruch Mordechai. Who does Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai refer to? Ar Haman refers to the way we often perceive ourselves. Baruch Mordechai refers to the way we should perceive ourselves. So we drink on Purim a little bit, says Rav Kook, to access the inner Baruch Mordechai, and to dispense even just for one day with the Ar Haman. Such a beautiful and ashkafic insight. And you know what the reality is? So sometimes you need a little alcoholic assistance. Sometimes to be able to access the inner me, you know, we've built up so many walls, so many safeguards, not to access that inner reservoir because I'm afraid if I access it and if I acknowledge it, what it's going to go ahead and make me have to do. So I need a little bit of alcoholic assistance to break down the Ar Haman barriers, my negative self-conception or self-perception, in order to access the holiness that really resides within. That's Rav Kook. So Rav Kook understands that the hashkafa of this mitzvah is bein adam li atzmo. Chazal wanted me to feel good about myself. Chazal, yes, we make mistakes. Of course, we all make mistakes. But no matter how many mistakes we make, here's the great part. No matter how severe the mistake is, I never abdicate that inner spirituality. That is mine. I possess it. That reservoir of holiness, nothing that happens in life can ever take that away from me. That is mine no matter what occurs in life. The job, the avoda of the Jew on Purim, is a little alcoholic assistance. Stop thinking of myself as Ar Haman and begin looking at myself as Baruch Mordechai. That's Rav Kook. Take a look at number 11. Take a look at number 11. We're not finished. It gets better. So look at this. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is again just a little bit of background. A little bit of background. So look what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Umashinago lilbosh pirtzufim bepurim. The gever lovesh simlas isha. The isha klei gever. So the Shulchan Aruch here has an interesting discussion about cross-dressing on Purim. Cross-dressing on Purim. Right? So again, yeah, I'm not going to elaborate on this. All right, so you understand me? The idea over here is, so what's that? Now, understand, under normal circumstances, there is a biblical prohibition for a woman to wear man's clothing and for a man to wear women's clothing. The prohibition is centered on the idea that it could lead to immoral interactions. Yet the Shulchan Aruch says, now look, the Shulchan Aruch's premise is, but yet we see on Purim, men dressing up like women, women dressing up like men. So what happened to the halacha on Purim? Ein isra badavar. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, for one day a year, you could cross-dress. Me'achar she'in mechamnin ela l'simcha ba'alma. Because why? Why are people doing it? Because they're not doing it for immoral intentions. Rather, why are they doing it? For simcha ba'alma. What does simcha ba'alma mean? Just to celebrate, and of a celebratory tone. V'chein b'levi, fine. V'yish omrim da'aser, aval amina kisrachon. The Rama says, some say you shouldn't cross-dress on Purim either, but the halacha is you can. So if you want to dress up like a woman, you want to dress up like a man, on Purim you are permitted to do so. The Taz, by the way, argues on this in number 12, which you're not going to get into. I just wanted to put it to you. The Taz says that one shouldn't do this because many people do in fact sin as a result of this, even on Purim. Fine. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you could dress up in women's clothing if you're a man, you could dress up in men's clothing if you're a woman on Purim. Look at number 13. Number 13 is Likutei Halachos, which is from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. So remember, Rabbi Nachman didn't write any Sfarim. All of Rabbi Nachman's teachings were recorded ultimately by his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson. And his teachings were really recorded in two distinct Sfarim. One was called Likutei Moharan, which are the teachings, again, Moharan, Morin, Arav, Rabbi Nachman, so that's Rabbi Nachman's writings, and Likutei Halachos, which is where Rabbi Nosson recorded like the halachic rulings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Just see, you want an example of someone accessing their inner holiness. You know, Rabbi Nachman died at the age of 39 years old. He died of tuberculosis at the age of 39. So you understand, had Rabbi Nachman not accessed his inner holiness, his inner Baruch Mordechai, what the world would have lost. You know, how many of us at the age of 39 say to ourselves, oh, I have plenty of time. there's 49, there's 59, there's 600, plenty of time. You never know how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you in this world. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Nachman used every moment of his life. So look what he writes. And this is amazing. Paragraph Aleph. V'zeh b'chinas gadol. Haflogas ha-simcha, ma'od ma'od, shenogim kol Yisrael ha-harbos az b'simcha gidola, va'osim kol mini tzchok, u'tzchok b'shul ha-harbos ha-simcha, ki ikar mitzvas purim hi ha-simcha. So that what Rabbi Nachman is bothered by is the following. As a people, we are all about simcha. We love simcha. We have a biblical mitzvah of simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you have to celebrate. There's a difference between simcha and tzchok. Tzchok is normally what we, how do we translate schok? Right? Silliness. Right? Like a silliness. Like almost like a playful jest. It's not real happiness. Simcha is happiness, but simcha is a happiness that's rooted in holiness. Schok is a silliness. Yet Rabbi Nachman says it appears that the dominant aspect of Purim is not simcha. The dominant aspect of Purim is schok or schok. It's a little bit of silliness. What's the pshat? The alkin osim kol mine schok, mine mili tishtusa, the osim az masa shichrus ushtus befishal simcha. So Rabbi Nachman says, we do all this crazy stuff on Purim. First of all, we get dressed up in costumes. Second of all, we have men and women dressing in the other genders. All this stuff. We drink. What's going on over here? Paragraph days. Get ready for this. Ki isa b'divir Rabbeinu Zal, b'kama makomos, kama azharos gedolos, shetzarech ha'adam lahargil es atzmo, lihios b'simcha tamid. Rabbi Nachman says, one of Rabbi Nachman's most well-known statements, mitzvah gedola lihios b'simcha tamid. It is an obligation, a mitzvah, to be constantly b'simcha. Be'isa b'dvar ha-kidoshim, she'efshar lihios, paragraph gimel, b'simcha, kim ayyidei mili d'shtusa, daika, she'osin atzman kishota, or mesamchin es atzman mili d'shtusa, listen to this line. Ki machmas sheteva ha'adam nimshach achra atzvus ma'ot. Ki kol adam mole yisurim v'yigonos. Ki adua l'chol echad ve'echad. Al kein tzrichen lahachrich es atzmo b'chala kochos lios b'simcha. So look what the Rebbe writes. Rabbi Nachman says, do you know what the default disposition of man is? Sadness and depression. Sadness. It's easy to be depressed in life. Why is it easy? We just have to understand. If you know a little bit about Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman struggled with depression. I don't know, clinical or not. Rabbi Nachman had depressing periods of life where he felt so far. He felt so sad. He felt so down on himself. He felt so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Nachman says, you know, so many people struggle with depression in life. Again, I don't mean in a clinical sense. That's true also. But even in a non-clinical sense, you know, when you look around what goes on around the world, look at what goes around the world, right? Again, you know, even if you think about it, here we're having a beautiful lunch and learn, right? The learning Torah. We know the news in Eretz Yisrael today, not the terror attack. Now there's a person who lost his life in Eretz Yisrael. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And not just as a Jew. If you open up the newspaper, and you hear again about, you know, like there are whole continents that are ravaged by starvation, malnutrition, civil war. Like, you look around what goes on in the world, and it's overwhelming. So what most of us do is we compartmentalize. We have a little bit of cognitive dissonance. We just simply don't think about it. That's not a good approach either, because you have to be a member of the community of mankind. You look around what goes on around the world. You just look even within our own community. The difficulties, the struggles, the sickness, all the different things. Says Rabbi Nachman, it gets you depressed. It gets you depressed. So says Rabbi, so how do I come out of the depression? Look what he writes. The ikra simcha, I afshar lihios kim al yidei mili d'shtusa. So Rabbi Nachman says something absolutely amazing. So you know, if you were taking a more Hasidically a challenged approach, what you would say is, what's the way to become happy? Drink. No, not drink. Right? What's the way to become happy?
Learn Torah,
right? Learning Torah is the answer to everything. And learning Torah is the answer to everything, that's true. The Rebbe says, but it's not the answer to everything for everybody. So how do you deal with the fact that sometimes just the nature of the human condition is overwhelming? The Rebbe says, sometimes, this is amazing, sometimes you just have to be a little silly. Sometimes you just have to not take yourself or take life so seriously. Now again, so a lot of people do this all the time. Right, a lot of people live like this, so that's terribly damaging and detrimental. That's an escape method. That's not good. But says to me, you know what? For one day out of the year, you know what Chazal gave us? They gave us an opportunity. You know, you ever think about this? You know, sometimes you see people on Purim, and you wonder, like, how does any self-respecting person leave the house looking like that? Right? And what's your reaction to it? And then right after you say, how can anybody, you say to yourself, like you chuckle. And you know what? That chuckle, says the Rebbe, is so healthy. Because that chuckle is just pure, it's just silliness. And sometimes what you need is a little bit of silliness to leverage all of the heaviness in this world. This is a heavy world. Life is heavy. Life is serious. Life is filled with sinistionos. It's filled with challenges. It's filled with difficulties. And so many of them are overwhelming. Sometimes you need just, but yet, I have all that. But yet it also, we know, mitzvah gedola lios besimcha tamis. I don't understand. How does it shtim? How does it work together? And I'm supposed to be besimcha, but yet the world is so heavy. That's where Purim comes in. And Purim says, you know what? A little bit of silliness to put a smile on your face could work wonders. A little bit of simcha that is so stupid, you'll excuse me, that is so ridiculous, that is so crazy. So seeing some drunken guy going ahead and singing with all of his might and crying and this, that, you say, wow, I know that guy. Right? That's not what he does the rest of the year. But to see the beautiful holiness that comes out from that individual in those moments when a person knocks down the wall, says the Rebbe, that little bit of simcha is so cathartic and so helpful. So according to the Rebbe, the whole essence of the mitzvah of drinking is ben adon l'makom, really. Because the only way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be with simcha. And the only way to be with simcha in a world that is so heavy, and a world that is sometimes so, and life that is so overwhelming, is to have just a little bit of silliness. And by the way, I think you could extend Rabbi Nachman, it's not just once a year. But the truth is, sometimes in life you have to have a little bit of fun. A little bit of fun. Now, I always say this to couples, to young men and women, when speaking about shiduchim, you know, it's amazing that I remember, I'm not an old man, but I remember that when people used to date, the objective of a date was having a good time. Right? Now, the objective of dating is to find out the hashkafic intricacies about another and to understand, like, what do you hold of Tchiyas HaMeisim? Like when Mashiach comes, because I want to make sure that this is a good shidduch, like when Mashiach comes, are the tzaddikim coming back? Are the Gentiles coming? Like, who's coming back? Because like this is a deal breaker. The Rebbe is saying, you know, one of the most important things, again, and it's probably not shaykh to most of the people here, but one of the most important things when a person is going out, one of the most important aspects in a spouse is someone you could have fun with, someone you could laugh with, someone who you could chuckle with. That's important, and that's just as important as any hashkafic consideration. It's just as important as if you're same page about aliyah, or where you're going to send your kids to. Because if you can't laugh with someone, then what kind of life am I building with that individual? So Rabbi Nachman says, it's so important. If you want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha, you have to find simcha in life. And how do you find simcha in life? Sometimes you just need a little bit of silliness to get it started. And finally, with this, I'll conclude, because I know our time is up. Again, I put more on the sheet here that you'll look at on your own. And number 15, the Chachmas Manoach. The Chachmas Manoach writes the following. He says, if you skip down to the actually, just look where it says, Odiyei Shlomar L'mashal, Dinakte ad sheyashlich kol adam hakina v'asina, sheyesh lo achaveiro b'limo b'porim. Ki lefamim adam shtsonei la'adam. So let me tell you this outside, just because of time. So the Chachmas Manoach writes that often, there's no one person that gets along with everyone. People generally have individuals whom either they don't like, or chas v'shalom, other enemies. And generally, we dislike people for two different reasons. We dislike certain people, normally, the most normal reason we dislike people is why? Right? They hurt us. Not just disagreement, but they hurt me. Right? Someone did something to hurt me, and therefore, again, whether it's because I'm protecting myself or whatever, I don't like a person, which we understand. Reuven hurt me, I don't like Reuven. That's one reason. What's the other reason we don't like people? Says the Chachmas Manoach. Right?
Say that because if I see a person who reflects all of the things that I think are wrong with me, I don't like that person.
That's true also. Projection. The Chachmas Manoach says, even a little simpler, jealousy. Often if someone has more than me, they're more successful than I am. Right? They're more accomplished than I am. So it's just, I'm not going to say I'm jealous because jealousy is petty. So instead, what do? I don't like them. Why? I just don't like them. And I list off the reason, but at the end of the day, I can tell you why I don't like them. But the real reason is because I'm jealous. Says the Chachmas Manoach. Do you know what Purim is all about? Purim is all about being Adon L'Chaveiro. Remember again, do you know how Haman sold us down the river to Achashverosh? He said, Yeshno am echad mefuzar umefura. But these Jews, they're persecuted. You would think that a persecuted people, if everybody else hates them, at least they would what?
Like each other.
Like each other. But they don't. They don't get along with each other. Right? This one doesn't like that one, and this one doesn't like that one. You know, this one's an extremist. What's the definition of an extremist? Anyone who doesn't agree with me is an extremist, right? So whether you're to the right, I'm the normal, right? Each and every one of us becomes like the poster child for normalcy, right? I'm normal. Everyone else is, so I don't like this one, I don't like that one, I don't disagree with this one, we have this. So Haman says, look, they're persecuted, they still don't get along with each other. What do we need them for? And Achashverosh said, you're right. So the Wishtei Chachmas Manoach says, the avoda of Purim is achdus. Purim is all about being a united people. Purim is all about coming together. Purim is about settling our differences. That's why, again, I always talk about this in my shul. Mishloach Manos, when you send Shalach Manos, don't send it to your friends. Trust me when I tell you, your friends don't need your Shalach Manos. You know who you should send Shalach Manos to? To the people who you don't have the best relationships with. To the people of whom you've had fallings out with. Send it as the overture for peace. Send it as, wait, come on, it's not worth it. Whatever it is, we don't have to be in a state of machlokes. Says the Chachmas Manoach, that's the meaning of the Gemara. But you know, sometimes, to reach out to someone is not so easy. It's not so easy, especially when you really dislike them, either because they've hurt you or because you're jealous. So you know what helps a little bit? A little l'chaim. Sometimes, again, I can't approach you if I'm angry at you, right? I don't like you. But you know what? If we each have a little bit to drink, it's amazing how much friendlier people become. Says the Chachmas Manoach, that's the meaning of the Gemara. Chayiv inish levasumei bepuri. A person is obligated to drink on Purim. Ad lo yada bein arahaman lebarach Mordechai. Arahaman refers to the Hamans of my life. Refers to those people who hurt me, who offended me, who upset me. They're my Hamans. And there are also Mordechais. Mordechais are people who are more successful than I am, who have more than I am, who have accomplished more than I have, and therefore, again, I dislike them because they have more than me. Says the Chachmas Manoach, our obligation to drink on Purim is until I'm able to reconcile with both the Hamans and the Mordechais in my life. So if we bring this all together, so hopefully what we've seen today, and now I'm really going to stop, what we've seen today is hopefully we've seen the halacha behind the drinking, and we've seen again the various different opinions, right? We've seen again everyone from the Rush, ultimately, yes, keep drinking. We saw this, even though the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira, we saw Rabbeinu Ephraim, don't drink because the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira. We saw the Rambam, who said what? Just drink until you fall asleep. Halacha l'maaseh, how do we paskin? Essentially like the Rambam. You want to drink a lot, you want to drink a little, just make sure it is a holy endeavor. How do you tell? How are you feeling the next morning? What are you doing the next morning? So you want to drink a lot, drink a little. But what is it hashkafically? What's the avoda? Everything we do in Judaism has a message. So what is the message ultimately of drinking? To which we come out with a three-pronged message. The point of drinking is being Adam Latman, like Rav Kook said. The point of drinking is that we should discover our inner Mordechai. So many of us walk around life thinking that we're a Haman, thinking with such low self-esteem, such negative self-perception. Sometimes you need a little alcoholic assistance to knock down the walls, access the reservoir of internal spirituality, and find your inner Mordechai. The second approach we saw ultimately was Rabbi Nachman, that sometimes in life it's important to have just a little bit of silly simcha. It's important just to be able to laugh. It's important just to be able to take a step back and just have laughter. Because without the ability to find just simple, even silly joy in life, says Rabbi Nachman, you can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. So the point of the drinking, says Rabbi Nachman, is ben adam l'makom. You have to find simcha because that's the only way you can worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha. And finally, the Chachmas Manoach, Purim is all about ben adam l'chavero. Purim is the day where we prove Haman, you are wrong. You said that we're a splintered people. You said that we're a factious people. You said that we're a people that are filled with machlokes. It's not true. And I'm going to show you it's not true. Because I'm going to use this day to reconcile with the Hamans and the Mordechais in my life. I'm going to use this day to reach out to the people who I'm angry at because they hurt me, who I'm jealous of because they have more than me. I can't do it on my own. So I'm going to make a couple of l'chaims. I'm going to take down the walls, take a little bit of the edge off, and I'm going to reach out. And this becomes our avoda on Purim. The magnificence of the Yom Tov of Purim. It's the one day where we have the ability to work on our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our relationship with one another. We should hope that in Yiratz Hashem, in the zechus of getting such an early start of learning on Purim, you know, Purim is a geula that was nistar. Purim was a hidden redemption. We should hope that in the merit of learning about Purim, actualizing the lessons of Purim, internalizing the lessons of Purim, taking upon ourselves to really bring to fruition the avoda of Purim, the Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a gula redemption that is not nister, but a beautiful redemption that is nigla with the Melech HaMashiach.
Amen. Amen. We're going to bench now and immediately followed by Mincha.
Dovid, you're calling? How are you going?
I didn't watch. Go ahead.